is Offstage and On the Air performance number 414. I am Lisa Sheps. I will be joined soon by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby. We stream this live every day, all day, and especially every week at KOOP.org. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
You talk, she talks.
It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. On the show today, we have our good friends at Jarrett Productions and their show, The Children. And later on, we'll be talking to the Latino Comedy Project and their show, Star Wars. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, and parts west, including Salt Lake City, Utah. Do not go away.
And soon you're looking in a mirror. You realize you can't get nearer.
Well, here we are. It is Wednesday, May 1st, and I would normally at this point be checking in with Nicole Shiro. So, hey, Nicole, how you doing? Okay, she's not here. Nicole is in a car, bustling, trying to get here as soon as she can. So I'm just going to jump right in and introduce the folks that are here. Talk just a little bit of a second, and then we're going to go and jump right into our first guests, and we'll have our normal lively discussions once we're done talking to that guest, because I don't want Nicole to miss it, because as everybody here knows, Tony nominations were just announced yesterday, or maybe it was Monday. I don't remember. But anyway, they were Monday, David? Monday. Well, so speaking of David, let's introduce everybody that's here. We have David Jarrett.
Hello.
Hi, David. We have Francesca Christian.
Hi.
Catherine Schroeder.
Hello.
We have, let's see if I can get your name without, it's really not difficult. Andy Gonzalez Ben Dixon.
Hey there.
And Cindy Brio.
Hi, hi.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to have you guys here.
We're happy to be here. It's May Day. Where's the maypole?
Well,
I wanted some maypole dancing.
It's here. You just can't see it.
Radio.
So the Tonys were announced, and I decided, so the piece of music, does anybody recognize the piece of music that I played right before we went on the air?
No.
Mm. No. Well, it's from last year's Tony winner, The Band's Visit, which we talk about a lot on the show because I just love it. That's the end of the story, Band's Visit. So for our interstitial music, we're going to play the Tony winners, at least the last three. So we're going to play, we just played The Band's Visit. At the next thing, we're going to play something from Dear Evan Hansen. And then finally, from a show called Hamilton, which, who here has tickets to Hamilton when it's here in Austin at the end of next month?
I saw it in New York.
So you don't want to see it as a second time? Who'd you see in it? Did you see anybody of note?
Yes, I saw Quentin Johnson from Austin.
Oh, you saw Quentin. Good. Well, you know, yeah, so that is cool. Did you like his performance? And you don't want to see it a second time?
Of course I do.
Well, I will be there, so I'll be able to report back. And actually, Nicole is just walking into the studio right now.
Well,
so we can all turn and... And now we can go back to plan A.
She always has to make an entrance.
She does. But before we get into talking about the Tony nominations, we did have two Broadway shows that opened before the nominations and since our last show. First of all, let me check in with Nicole Shiro, who's got to be exhausted.
I'm really exhausted this week.
Look at you.
I look like a hot mess,
you
but
do.
I am here.
You are here. You just drove in from the lake.
I was out at Lake Travis Waterloo Adventures.
Mm-hmm. LTWA, we call that.
That actually is what they call themselves, okay. Believe it or not. Hello.
Lutwa.
Washington.
So they're opening this weekend, and I was out there working on some stuff.
Good. Did you zip line?
No, the same people who run Lake Travis Waterloo Adventures do run the zip lining, and the zip lining, one of the actual lines goes over the adventure part. So when you're out there on these, there's like a challenge course, this water wee bit challenge course, obstacle course, and floating. big icebergs and trampolines, but it's this huge leisure area.
Wait a second, stop.
Yeah.
Icebergs?
Yes, floating icebergs.
Icebergs.
Yes.
Do you, I'm not sure if you know where we are geographically
yes.
in the world.
Well, it's a plastic fun toy.
Ah.
So it's all that stuff, and it's cool while you're there playing, and then you see the
well,
zip liners go
Well, of course it's cool. It's
over.
An iceberg.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. Ba-dum-bum. So let's talk about the two openings before we dive into the Tony nominations. The first opening was on Wednesday of last week, and that was Ink. By James Graham, and it opened. Has anybody heard anything about Ink?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, so it's supposedly an amazing piece. It did get a Tony nomination for Best Play. It opened on the West End in 2017 and is now here. And it is a show. It's basically the Mephistopheles, the Faust story, but it's set. It's Rupert Murdoch. And his editor that he brought in, Larry, I forgot the real man, Larry Lamb, who is played by John Lee Miller. Rupert Murdoch is played by one Bernie Carvel.
Yes, I was like, it's Bernie, and I love Johnny Lee Miller too. He's a little.
I have to say that I don't know who he is, but he got incredible reviews.
I think
by
you
ben
know
Brantley.
Who he is without knowing who he is. Yeah, you definitely know who he is
I'm
without the
at
recognition.
Here's his picture, everybody.
Yeah, but he's like a chameleon.
He's like a lizard.
If you saw younger of him, you'd be uh-huh. like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah,
okay.
I know who he is.
Andy knows who he is.
Yep. He's done some really whacked
out. So this
crazy
tells
good.
The story of Rupert Murdoch, who bought a failing newspaper in London called the I forgot what it was called, but anyway, it turned into what it became as a tabloid press, and he did this by design, and he kind of got credited with a little bit of the social media thing, because what he did at the time was, it said, we're going to make the people tell their stories. And that's what made that, what's the name of the
I
newspaper?
I can't remember the name of
Nicole.
The darn thing.
I'll find it. It's in here somewhere. But that was sort of the start of how social media operates as well, which I thought was a kind of interesting thing. So Rupert Murdoch talked Larry Lamb, who was a journalist that was evidently respected, into going about it and everything a different way. And so he sort of acts as this little smarmy little Rupert Murdoch, as you would imagine he would be. And Bernie Carvel got great notices.
Yep. Bernie's a talent, that Bernie.
And the set designer is named Buddy Christie, and said really great things about it. And when I read the review, the set design didn't really resonate in my head so much, but there's a photograph of it in one of the Tony articles, and it's a chaotic looking set.
It was
set.
Like, it looks very chaotic. Yeah. No, you're right. There hasn't been a lot of images out for Ink, now that you say that.
There is some movement in it. There's conga lines and stuff like that. So they have accredited choreographer, Lynn Page. And it looks really good. And it is up for Tony for Best New Play.
I like the two that are in it, so.
Yeah, well.
That sells good. Me right there.
The other that opened to not such great reviews, oddly enough, is Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
No.
With one Alex Brightman, who steps off his Tony Award nominated or winning for Rock of Ages.
School of Rock.
School of Rock.
I don't think he won for Dewey.
I don't think he did either. Good, because I'm all for that. But he goes from playing one movie thing to another. He's like
Andy Carl.
Yeah,
no, he's not
like
Andy Carl, but he's in that world of let's just keep doing movie musicals.
Right. Anyway, Ben Brantley called this an absolutely exhausting new musical with a frantic adaptation of Tim Burton's Beetlejuice. It is directed by Alex Timbers and stars Alex Brightman, as we just said. It has some other really great people in it.
It's like the people involved in it are powerhouses. I know.
Yeah, it's got Rob McClure and Carrie Butler playing the couple that dies. And
does
it still
Carrie
make
Butler.
Does it still make good use of Harry Belafonte?
Well, oddly enough, so I'll read the funny thing was that I've got to read this.
I was like,
because
there's a thing about it.
The no, that's not the set I wanted to read. I believe I have it all. Stand by, nobody panic. That's not the one either. Oh, yeah. The music mostly exists in a loud, undifferentiated blur. That includes, I'm sorry to say, Deo, the Banana Boat song, in which the denizens of the dinner party find themselves possessed by Calypso's spirit. In the film, the incongruity of stuffy, dressed-up Philistines making like Jamaican backup dancers was a hoot. Evidently not so much here. So not such a great review. It wasn't a terrible review, but it just wasn't great.
It wasn't terrible. And then, but I couldn't believe all the nominations. I was like, what?
Got a lot of nominations. We're not talking about nominations yet. Stand by. So it said, the show so overstuffs itself with gags, one-liners, and visual diversions that you shut down from sensory overload.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor thing. Here's a picture, and it shows the young lady that's playing the Winona Ryder role said that she not so great reviews about her.
Well, either. I don't know if you've listened to any of the singles they released that she sings, but they're painful.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. That's the openings.
The only song I have found somewhat amusing was "Say My Name," which I was like, oh, he's trying to get, I was like, that's funny. And maybe it's because I know the movie, so I found it funny. But I was like, he just kept running around going, say my name. And I was like,
Beetlejuice.
That's the highlight of the movie. That's the highlight there.
So before we get into the Tony nominations, we just need to say that we lost a great playwright, the playwright of Children of a Lesser God, amongst other things. He died at 79. It's Mark Medoff. And he also died, and I didn't realize this. And reading the list of shows he did, When You Coming Back, Red Rider is his, and several other things. He was also acting in a play right before he passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was because my page cut it off when I was reading it, but it was directed by his daughter, and his granddaughter Grace Marks was in the role as well. And he received a review. It said, Medoff prowls the stage like a caged animal on edge, David Salcedo wrote in a review of the Sun in the Sun News. Anticipatory and spitting out his lines, curtly like a man who simply can't be bothered with distractions. 74 when he did that. He died at 79. So, voila. And, you know, Children of the Lesser God was just revived on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And Marley Matlin credits him with her career, basically, because he insisted they did not want to hire a deaf actor to play that role when they originally did Children of a Lesser God. And he insisted that a deaf actor play that role. Good for him.
Right.
But this was also in the 70s, and we weren't as smart back then, or we weren't as in tune to what's going on in the world back then. Voila. So we had both the Drama Desk Awards nominations and the Tony nominations that came out since we were last on, but we'll really stick to the Tonys. The Drama Desk are basically exactly, you know, what you would think. But Best Musical?
Musical.
Best Musical?
Musical, that's a new category.
Yep.
What's going on in the Musical?
So the five nominees are Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations, Beetlejuice, Hadestown, and I'm really excited that The Prom is nominated, as well as Tootsie. What didn't get nominated that people think they should, but I just don't think so. Did anybody else see Cher, the Cher show?
No.
Yeah, I did. I did not like it. Stephanie J. Block got a nomination for Best Actress in a Musical.
Stephanie J. got one.
But I don't think, I'm sorry, she listens to this show, don't think she deserved it for this one. Just saying. Unless things grow.
Anymore.
So I saw it in Chicago in previews, so it may have gone through a lot of changes. The costumes by
Bob Mackie.
Thank you. I was going to say Taylor Mack, and I happen to know that's not true.
No.
The costumes by Bob Mackie also got a nomination, and they were amazing. Best play, Choir Boy, The Ferryman, Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus, Ink, and What the Constitution Means to Me. Most people think it's going to be What the Constitution Means to Me. But I'll tell you, The Ferryman was amazing. Did anybody else see that one?
I don't know. You don't think it would be The Ferryman?
I think
it's going to be... I teetered between those two when I saw that. Is it The Ferryman or What the Constitution Means to Me?
Yeah, they're saying What the Constitution Means to Me. Maybe because of the topicality of it. But I didn't see it, so I can't judge. Anybody? Anybody see it?
Nope.
No, all right. Best revival of a musical. There were only two.
Best made me laugh so hard. I was like, well, it's Oklahoma or Kiss Me, Kate.
All the revivals got nominated.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I really
wanted... Could be Oklahoma or Kiss me, Kate. Who will it be?
I
my
so
money's on Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Kiss me, Kate's a lot of good word too. I would really love to see this Oklahoma. It sounds amazing. And what's her name? Who's playing 80 Annie? Striker.
Kelly? Oh. No.
What's her name? It's in
it,
here.
Is it Kelly? No.
No. Allie Stroker.
Allie, there you go.
Who's playing 80 Annie? Just looks amazing.
Well, a friend of mine went the other day and Anna Wintour was there and she saw her in line getting chili. And I was like, well, that just right there makes my day.
Anna Wintour getting chili?
Huh?
She's human too.
Yeah, but it's just so funny. Would you really imagine, like, I think the visual of being at a show and watching Anna Wintour in line for chili is kind of everything.
So,
right? See, we're all giggling right now.
Best revival of a play, All My Sons, The Boys in the Band, which I'm really glad got a nod.
Yeah.
And it opened so early in the season, we were afraid that they were going to think of them. Burn This, Torch Song, and The Waverly Gallery. So I'm just going to go through some of the other leading actor in, oh, well, first, best direction of a musical is Rachel Chafkin in Hadestown, mm-hmm. Scott Ellis in Tootsie, Daniel Fish for Oklahoma, Des Makanoff for Ain't Too Proud, and Casey Nicholaw from The Prom. The Prom, by the way, has local connections.
Yep.
So that's always a really good thing.
Actually,
anyway.
Hadestown and Tootsie does,
I was like,
too.
So does Hadestown. And, yeah, there's more than...
Who's the connection for Tootsie?
Carolyn and Mark Serra for producers.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing Tootsie. I know they did their...
And Hadestown.
And Hadestown.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. So good. We want them all to win. Best leading actor in a play, Bryan Cranston for Network. Patty Considine for The Ferryman, who I did not get to see. He was the only one I did not get to see in that. Jeff Daniels for To Kill a Mockingbird. Adam Driver for Burn This and Jeremy Pope for Choir Boy. That's
a hard category. I know. It's a hard category.
Speaking of To Kill a Mockingbird, only got two nominations.
Ooh, Network
and not for best play, not for best. They may have gotten best direction. And Network also got.
And Network, snubbed. Those two were the two that just didn't really get him. I was surprised
by
that.
But Bryan Cranston, of course, got a nod for his acting. Best leading play and actress, Annette Bening for All My Sons, Laura Donnelly for The Ferryman, Elaine May for The Waverly Gallery, Janet McTeer for Bernard Hamlet, Laurie Metcalf, Hillary Clinton didn't get any nominations either for best play, and Heidi Schreck for What the Constitution Means to Me.
Another hard category of folks.
Mm-hmm. Actor in a musical, Brooks Eshmonkis for The Prom, Derek Bastian for Ain't Too Proud, Alex Brightman for Beetlejuice, Damon Dauno, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, for Oklahoma, and Santino Fontana for Tootsie.
Tootsie,
goodbye.
Tootsie.
And best leading actress in a musical, Tootsie. Stephanie J. Block for The Cher Show, Kelly O'Hara, Kiss Me Kate, Caitlin Kinulian, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, for The Prom, Beth Level for The Prom, and Eva Nobilizeda for Hadestown.
Yes.
And then there's just lots of other stuff.
14. Hadestown. 14 nominations.
14 nominations. Yep. So it'll be interesting. I was pretty sure that it was going to be a Hadestown, but I'm not so sure anymore. Your friend King Kong got a special award.
Well, just the puppet himself deserves an award because puppet himself is so cool. Though he broke down this week. Did you see that?
I did. They had to cancel a performance.
During that awful scene that I said should have been cut in the first place. And I said those poor people were 40 minutes into the show in the most boring moment and they all had to go home with that. I'm so sorry. They missed the great Kong moment. So, yes, puppet broke. The puppet is spectacular. The feet of that puppet. The show, yeah. The puppet, yeah. But
yeah, and I've heard varying things, but you've seen it, and that's how you feel, and I think that's great.
And and the Lifetime Achievement Awards, Mr. Terrence McNally, my man.
Yep, just getting there. Hadn't gotten there yet. I was still talking about the Puppet Award, which the official award is a special award for. I forgot the name of it now, so...
Totally I forgot the name of it,
effect.
Too.
Other, Sonny Tilder's in the Creature Technology Company who won it. And then
totally deserved. I get it.
Other special awards was Jason Michael Webb for his arrangements of Choir Boy and the late Maren Mazie for her just work and her body of work and her work as a advocate for ovarian cancer, mm-hmm. which is what she died of in September of last year.
Mm-hmm. And her last show was with Terrence McNally.
Yep. Who is getting a special award along with Rosemary Harris and Harold Wheeler.
I love Harold Wheeler. I love Harold Wheeler so much. I was like, this is a trio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's all good. And we have connections to Terrence McNally here, and you specifically working with him at Zach coming up. Do you want to tell folks about that show?
So Terrence McNally's world premiere of Immortal Longings will start previews in Zach June 12th, and it'll open June 20th. He's rewritten the show. This was the show that Maren Macy was in. It was originally known as Fire and Air. It is on the Russian ballet on Nijinsky, and I'm going to... Dagliov, right? How do you say that right? Yes, I said it right. Yeah, I'm like, did my brain slow today? So he completely has rewritten the show that is now world premiere. And Matt McGrath, who has a connection to Boys from the Band, he was one of the understudies in that, is going to be coming in and starring in that. Actually, the whole cast is pretty awesome.
Pretty amazing.
He is everything, man. He is just as nice in person as you imagine. Like, he's just everything. I love that man. But I loved him a long time before working with him. I love him.
There you go. Scott Rudin had 5 plays on Broadway this season.
Isn't that crazy?
5 plays. One of which was To Kill a Mockingbird, which did not get a best nod. But he also had Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus. He had Hillary and Clinton. He had King Lear. And Glenda Jackson did not get a Tony nomination, which is sort of surprising. But she got one last year for 3 Tall Women. The production of King Lear was universally unliked except for her performance.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
It could be that they were just too waylaid by the production itself to say that she got a nod. But anyway, I think she deserves
it.
She's like
in there.
7 million
Stephanie's
years old.
Still in there. So, I mean, it's a great theory, but I poked some holes right there.
I'm just saying. So here is here's that picture of Ink that I was telling you about.
Oh, nice.
So it's a much more frenetic set mm-hmm. than was described. Let me show that picture to the audience, the listening audience.
Johnny Lee Miller is such a frenetic guy. That's the kind of... Did you watch Sherlock that was on the last 5 years with Lucy Liu?
Nope.
Oh, that was him.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I was like, what was the recent show that
Sherlock
he was
based what's
on?
His name?
Which was called, it was a brilliant take on Sherlock. He was Sherlock and she was Watson. Right.
So just to change the subject briefly for a moment, have you been able to see any or has anybody seen any of Fosse Verdon?
I still haven't caught up.
None. You've seen
zero? I saw the first episode. And then I watched 10 minutes of the second episode after she arrived back with the gorilla suit.
Okay.
And stuff.
I
haven't been able to sit and focus.
I'll tell you what.
I don't want to put it in the background.
What they were saying ahead of time about that it was really more of a... I should say that the series is based on his biography. But being as he was not the nicest people around, he took advantage especially of the women in his life. They focused instead on Gwen Verdon as really the brains behind the man. But that's the way it was said at the beginning, but I'm not seeing it, watching it.
Mm-mm.
She's there. She's there. She's present. But I don't see it yet. We'll see. That's it. That's the end of that story. Mm. Well, okay. Anything else on the Tonys? Drama desks? Fact that To Kill a Mockingbird has recouped its $7.5 million.
And you know what's so crazy about that is that I watched a really great interview with Jeff Daniels a week ago. More than 70% of their audiences, they're performing to schools. And he's like, to be honest, yes.
That makes no sense at all. Because
so how are they recouping this?
Well, I'll tell you how they're recouping. When I was in New York and tried to get a ticket, I could only get an obstructed view for $300.
Because they're minimal seats to the public. He was explaining this, that the majority of the... He's like, we performed a school after school after school. And they were talking about this new program and that they're blocking out full shows. Even like not just the matinees when normally you go on a Wednesday, you'll see a school there with you. Like Friday nights, Saturday nights.
Wow.
Was a really interesting interview. And he said...
Can you share that with us so we can put it
absolutely
on the thing?
I would love to hear it. He said it's very interesting because you can hear more from the students' reactions. There's a lot more of the audible. He goes, at first it was weird and distracting. Am I playing, you know, who are we playing to? He goes, and I feel that it's almost more important that these kids are taking it in, even though they're more distracted at time. It was a really, I saw that one and I saw a great interview with Taylor Mack. I will share both of those.
Please do.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from 2 years ago, Tony winner, Dear Evan Hansen, Only Us. And we'll come back and we'll talk to Jarrett Productions. We'll be back. So what if it's and we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We've been having a lovely conversation.
Yep, I need to correct myself. It was Elementary was the show, not Sherlock.
Yeah, because everybody's going, that was Hodge-Boji Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, nope.
Hoji-Mawaji Cumberbatch.
Yes.
It's like, you know, anyway. That's what you wear in a tuxedo around your waist, is a Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. So let's talk to Jarrett Productions and their show, The Children, by Lucy Kirkwood. Let's reintroduce our folks. David Jarrett, hi.
Hello.
Francesca Christian, who plays Rose. Mm-hmm. And David, what's your character's name?
Robin.
Robin. My sister's name. And the sidekick to Batman. And Catherine Schroeder, who plays Hazel.
Hello.
By the way, I loved that TV series.
Oh, Hazel? Yeah. I got loved Shirley Booth. Too.
I know.
Mr. B.
So I'm assuming we're all of an age.
Yeah,
here,
we're all sitting here. Like we all just went, Hazel.
Yeah, okay, I'll speak for myself. So David Jarrett, Artistic Director of Jarrett Productions.
Yes.
Tell us about this show, what it is, and why you chose it in your season.
Well, I saw this show in January of 2018 in New York. It was written in 2012. It was first performed in London in 2016, transferred to Broadway in 2017, late in 2017. And I go to New York 2-3 times a year, and I never make plans for the first night I'm there because I never know if I'm going to get there or not. You know how that is with air travel. And so I found myself in New York on this January evening with no plans, and I looked on TodayTix, and I saw they were having a lottery for The Children. And I had read about The Children. I thought, well, I'm predisposed to like this play. So I entered the lottery. And sure enough.
You got the lottery?
Jazz hand in one. I've only won a lottery once. It was Hairspray when I won it. Yeah.
I got a fifth row orchestra seat for $30.
Oh.
And I just.
That's a jazz hand.
Yeah.
I fell in love with this show. And on the way out of the theater, I bought a copy of the script. This one that's a little bit gnarled now. And and then I tried tracking it down, but it hadn't been published in the United States at that time. So I was trying to contact people in London, and they didn't. Anyway, long story short, I finally found that Dramatists Play Service was going to have the rights to the show. And I applied for the rights, thinking, oh, I'm going to be put off for another year. And I got them.
Awesome.
Like, almost immediately. So this has been in our list since March or so of last year.
Great.
But very happy to present it now. And a little bit about the play itself.
Please.
It takes place in a coastal town, a little village, in a cottage that Hazel and Robin are living in about 6 months after a nuclear disaster, kind of like the
Chernobyl?
Fukushima.
Oh, Fukushima.
Oh, Fukushima.
And Lucy Kirkwood was inspired by an article that she had read about some of the scientists, retired nuclear scientists in Japan, who were leading the cleanup efforts for that one. And she wondered how the British population might respond to a similar situation. And that's the premise of it. It's a very relevant play for what we're doing current conversations about climate change and the generational responsibility for some of the messes, frankly, that we have made.
The anniversary of Chernobyl right now, too, puts it all back on everyone's mind.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And it focuses those ideas through the relationships of these three people, Hazel and Rose, Robin, who are a married couple, and Rose. They all worked together about 38 or so years prior to that at the nuclear facility.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to tell you too much more about what happens, but let's just say that there are secrets revealed and there are interesting relationships. And at the same time, even though it deals with a very serious subject, it's a very funny play.
Oh, good.
It's a very funny play. And by the way, we also have a choreographer.
You do?
You do?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Charles Ann Ravensburg is our intimacy and choreographer, director for this. We have an amazing crew. Carlo Lorenzo Garcia is our director. He is a recent transplant from Chicago. He spent about 8 years there producing, directing, acting in several theater companies, and you've probably seen him in a couple of shows here. He was in The Madres, and for Southwest Theater Productions, he was in...
Junk.
He was in Junk most recently, yes, thank you. And
his name sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then his wife, Natalie, they are the dynamic duo. Natalie is the Jarrett Productions marketing director, and she was also one of the stars of our production of Significant Other earlier in the season. I want to say, in addition to Amanda Cooley Davis, who is our dialect coach, and Michael Krause, who co-scenic designer, we have a brilliant new lighting designer named Allison Lewis. Mm-hmm. She is incredible.
Wonderful lights.
Talena Martinez is our costumer. Craig Brock, of course, is our sound designer. Lisa Gehring is our production manager and has been since day one.
Lisa.
Lisa. To talk about...
I'm going to stop you for just a second. I'm sorry. I have to do a quick... transition. I need to go on, and I'm going to get with whatever okay. you're going to say. I'm just going to like put you on hold for just a second. We have to take a little
like
station.
Nobody's ever put me on hold before.
I'm putting you on hold.
Exactly.
Francesca, could you do me a favor and give me a number between 2 and 54?
33.
33. Okay, let's see what 33 is. Don't go away. Here we go.
Hi, we're the cast of Jersey Boys. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
There it is, Jersey Boys. Good. So that was so let's pick up with what you were saying. You said you just gave us the list of folks that are working on it, and you said one more thing.
Yeah, two more things.
Okay, you didn't say that.
Yeah, well, I should mention also our technical director, Zach Crawford, did a wonderful job on this set.
Zach is
set
okay.
is incredible. Morgan Brochu is our stage manager, our production stage manager, and she is a dynamo. Mm-hmm. It makes me very, very happy that we are able to, from time to time, when they are available, employ high school or college theater students, and she is the third college student that we have employed as a production stage manager.
Right. Where is she at?
What school? A senior at St. Ed's, graduating pretty soon, mm-hmm. and she is the definition of a stage manager. When you say, Morgan, do you think, okay, I just did that. Oh, okay, thank you. You know, she's one of those. She's incredible. She's got a great career ahead of her.
So the show sounds fascinating, and the whole Chernobyl thing is just driving me crazy right now.
And there's going to be a special on that. Is it this weekend?
I think so. It's been all week long.
There's a series.
It's like every other... Yeah.
Like Shark Week.
It's like Shark Week.
So, but you guys are prepared to do...
It's an odd. If it's so true.
You guys are prepared to do a little scene, aren't you?
Oh, if you insist, sure.
Well, yeah. Can somebody set that up for us?
Yeah, this is early in the play when Rose has just come back unexpectedly, and she and Hazel have been chatting for a while, renewing their acquaintance, and then Robin comes in. He's been out at their farm, and the discussion continues from there.
Wonderful. So this is David Jarrett, Francesca Christian, and Catherine Schroeder doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of The Children by Lucy Kirkwood.
There was a town, Rose, very close to where we are now. It was one of the most important towns in the country in the Middle Ages. Then, one day, it fell into the sea, the whole thing, in one go. The cliff just crumbled off like a lump of wet cake. The houses, the school, the church, the marketplace just tumbled into the water.
At certain times, people say you can walk on the beach and hear the church bells ringing from under the sea.
Well, crackpots say that.
She means locals.
Well, I've never heard
it. When she says crackpots, she means locals.
I am local. Lived here nearly all my adult life. I've never heard it.
I've heard it.
You haven't. It's nonsense ghost stories.
I have. Very clear at dusk. Ringing out for evening prayers.
When have you heard it?
In the summer.
You've been here in the summer, have you?
Yes, of course. In the past.
Oh, in the past. I see. I'm sorry. And that's when you heard these bells, these ghost bells.
Yes.
Well, you've always been religious.
Someone told me once at a party that out of every type of scientist, Physicists are the most likely to believe in God.
Must have been a thrilling party.
Hazel's just jealous we don't go to parties anymore.
Well, Robin drinks too much at parties. It's a liability.
Robin does. Robin drinks far too much. And Hazel doesn't drink nearly enough. Speaking of which, have you offered Rose one?
Yes. I offered her a glass of water.
A glass of water? A glass of? A whole glass, did you? Careful, she'll think we're rich as Croesus and nick our pension books when we're not looking.
And we had tea.
And we had tea.
Good thing
thank
you come only once every 40 years, Rose. You'd bankrupt us otherwise with your demands for whole glasses of water. Let's have a drink, a proper one, to celebrate. I'll raid the cellar for something with the nose on it.
Robin makes wine. Elderberry, gooseberry. If he offers you the parsnip, it means he wants to get you drunk. It's absolute filth.
I think perhaps I should go. Come back in the morning.
If you really thought that, Rosie, you'd have already gone.
That was great.
That was awesome.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So we're about out of time for this section. So where the show's started now. How long do you play?
We have only two more weekends. It's a limited three-week engagement, and we finished week one. We start up again tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday evenings at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2:30 at the Trinity Street Playhouse at 901 Trinity inside the First Baptist Church.
Well, great. You answered most of my questions. What day do you close? What's the date?
May 12th.
May
Mother's
12th.
Day.
And where can folks... Mother's Day. Where can folks go to get more information?
JarrettProductions.com.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And hopefully, I know many or most of or all of you can't stay for backstage, but if you can, hopefully you will.
Yeah, thanks.
Great.
Thanks
that was so David Jarrett, Francesca Christian and Catherine Schroeder of Jarrett Productions production of The Children by Lucy Kirkwood, playing now through May 12th at Trinity Theater. For more information, JarrettProductions.com. We will be right back.
Our children see.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
Hello! Let's just take a moment to talk a little bit about local stuff, and of course we'll get into our Today in Theater History. If I didn't accidentally just throw away the notes, but I think I did. I saw just the most fascinating thing on Now Playing Austin, which
what
I did not
it?
Know. It's from a group called Gathering Ground Theater, and it is Tales of the Sleepless Nights, and it deals with people experiencing homelessness by people who have experienced homelessness.
Oh, that's interesting. And is this already playing, or is it opening
this
weekend?
I'm gonna find the sheet, and I'm gonna give all the information as soon as I find it. But it is, I believe it is... starts at a church and moves around the city.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's this Tales of the Sleepless Night is a performative walking tour of downtown Austin's homeless grounds, conceived by conceived by Gathering Ground Theater, a theater troupe made up of Austinites who have experienced homelessness. So it sounds fascinating.
That is really fascinating.
They can find it via Facebook or Now Playing Austin. It's called Tales of the Sleepless Nights. And the dates did not print out.
April 26th.
Oh, there it is. April 26th through May 5th. Thank you. It looks fascinating. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're looking for volunteers to support the project, to either sign up and help or possibly donate. I don't know. But very important work.
Yeah, that's
I've
got
to say.
Yeah.
I have not heard of them until today.
I hadn't heard of that until you brought it up.
Yeah, so anything else locally you want to throw
well,
out there?
Well, that theater on Block, Severe Weather Warning. This is their last weekend.
Yep, Severe Weather Warning
at the Long Center.
Right, and the Rollins State. So let's just jump right into Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History?
Yep, it's Today in Theater History. We're just going to start in theater history. We're going to start in 1983.
Oh, okay.
And this was the...
It was a bodacious year.
It was. This is meant to be intended as a revival of the Gershwin musical Funny Face. Tommy Tune opened My One and Only.
I love that
on Broadway.
Musical.
Book by Timothy Mayer and Peter Stone. Music and lyrics by Ira Gershwin. Played 767 performances at the St. James.
And it toured with him for years. He toured it with Twiggy and Stephanie Zimbalist. Man, when they tap in the little water and sings Wonderful, I love that musical.
You know what?
What?
It's wonderful.
I know. It's awfully nice.
Tommy Tune is back on Broadway in 8 years later in 91, and he did the Will Rogers Follies, mm-hmm. which I like that show too. It's sort of fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
In 2003, we had the revival. It's the Revival City here right now of Gypsy with Bernadette Peters. And do you want to say anything?
No, I saw it.
All right. Was she lovely? I did not see it.
Oh, Bernadette, man. She's awesome in everything.
True.
I love Miss Peters.
2013, the Meunier Chocolate Factory. And now I've heard, so we've talked about the Meunier Chocolate Factory here several times. Mm-hmm. When I first started talking about it, I called it the Meunier Chocolate Factory. Aunt Chiclella, who knows everything about everything, corrected me and said it's the Meunier Chocolate Factory. But I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and everybody else calls it Meunier. So I don't know what it's pronounced.
I know. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Tomatoes,
potato,
tomatoes.
Potato.
Anyway, they revived Merrily We Roll Along, which was just revived at the Frenetic Theater, the Lyric, the Chaos Theater, whatever it's called, in New York.
Just this
season. What's the name of that theater company?
I don't know. It's driving me
Fanatic,
nuts.
Fanatic, Fanatic. Anyway, in 2016, just 3 years ago, Dear Evan Hansen opened off
Broadway. Isn't it crazy that it's been 3 years?
Well, off Broadway, it was 2 years.
I know, but it still just seems like yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
You know, yesterday was the anniversary of Say Anything, the movie, at 30 years. I realize how old we are.
Yeah, well, I have my boombox.
Do you have your boombox?
I do have my boombox. I do not have my boombox. I never owned a really big boombox. I had those small miniature, little white girl kind of boomboxes.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
You had a boombox, though.
I do want to talk about one other thing before we move on. Yesterday, I've been invited every year, and I haven't gone. This is the first year I went to see, and I'm going to go now.
We went 1 year together.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever been.
Yes, I went with you.
I don't remember ever going. Doesn't really matter. Texas Performing Arts had their announcement of their 2019-2020 season. In my mind, I just think of the Broadway season. I don't think of all the other stuff they do. They do so much more. Mm-hmm. And they highlighted it so much that there were things that really piqued my interest and things I want to look at. I'm going to just highlight three of them. One is the Axis Dance Company, which is a dance company that deals with able-bodied and non-and disabled-bodied people, and they showed a video of it. Oh my God!
Your postcard has the picture. Turn your postcard
over. Oh yeah, sure do. This is the picture of them. Amazing! The stuff they're doing with these wheelchairs in a choreographic way is pretty incredible. John Cameron Mitchell's coming.
I know he's going on tour with the whole.
Yeah, and this is called The Origin of Love, and he's going to talk about sort of how Hedwig came to life in a lot of ways.
He did it in Australia recently, and now he's coming here to do it.
Yeah, and then the other thing that...
new podcast thing starts today, or yesterday.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yep. The other thing I just want to highlight from the Texas Performing Arts series is Boys in Trouble. It's another dance company that deals with trans and non-binary folks, and the choreographer is a award-winning trans-identified choreographer. So it just looks really, really. They've got some interesting things this season. They have a whole, and I forgot what they called it. It's a social justice package where they're dealing with things that have more of a social justice tint than just strictly. Entertainment.
Yeah, Texas Performing Arts has a really cool series. It is. It's hard. Sometimes we just think, oh, it's just the Broadway series, and it's so much more that they bring in. I mean, that's how we got the National Theatre of Scotland with that incredible production you and I saw, and internally with the schools and everything, too, you know?
Yep.
So it's great.
So I just handed a little piece of paper to our guests, and they don't know what it, but one of them is going to be reading that for us.
I figured, I was like, oh, I don't have to do that.
I hope the last thing I just want to say is that, and this is something the Vortex has been doing for a long time, but I just want to point out some of the things that they're doing so right. I think they, publish a brochure that's just really well done of every show that's going to be in their theaters, including the rentals. And it's just really well done, really well laid out.
It's fun. It's pocketable. You want to play with it in your hands, and so you want to read it. Yeah, there's a lot of right about it.
Yeah, I just broke my own rule.
How about it's all right, no wrong.
It's all right. Let's take a break, and then we're going to talk to the Latino comedy project. And we're going to hear a little bit from Follies. And this is the current London company doing I'm Still Here. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro, who's busy turning pages and can't talk.
I'm here.
We're going to jump.
I'm still here.
I'm still here. We're going to jump right into the Emmy award-winning Latino comedy project and their show. And I want to get the name fully correct. It's a Star Wars. Wait, don't go away. I have it written down here. Star Wars, a May the 4th Cinco de Mayo comedy fiesta. And we have here to talk about it, we have Andy Gonzalez, Ben Dixon, and Cindy Brio. Hi, you guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Good to meet you.
So I am so thrilled to hear about this. The word of mouth on this is spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
We're so excited.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
We are.
So tell us about it, somebody.
Yeah, so I guess the main premise is that it's a parody of Star Wars, but it's very...
I'm sorry, what?
Of Guerra de las Galaxias, Star Wars.
That makes sense.
It sounds so much better in Espanol, just FYI. It's so much better.
Well, yeah, so being Star Wars, it's very heavily influenced by Mexican culture, and, you know, there's a lot of jokes in that, but one thing that I really like to say about it is it's not so much a parody as it is satire. So, yeah, it's very funny. It's a it's a comedy for sure, but it's very relevant to today. And, I mean, it's making some statements, and it has some points to make, you know? Mm-hmm.
So are we the obvious statement would be made around immigration. Are there other are there other issues that you're bringing up?
I mean, you hit the big one, but for sure there is. There is just representation in general, but immigration is so relevant right now. And I mean, the movie folds so perfectly into it, right? With the empire versus the resistance, which is la resistencia. So I mean,
of course, what else
folds
would it be?
In very well. Right.
Well, we also are tackling the issue of gender. You know, there's a little bit in there about gender, and so. That will be a really interesting thing to see.
Yeah, the show is very much about female empowerment. Mm-hmm. I mean, the movie already had Leia kind of front and center, but even more so, right? Very much about how, like, today is time for the female movement, right? Time to open our eyes, and it very much touches on that.
Well, that's
really cool.
Awesome. And I know that, I don't know whether it's giving anything away, but I know you have and I know there's a name for it, the Mexican wrestlers with a...
luchadores.
At least I know at least one character is that, and I don't know whether it's
Darth Bendido.
Okay, so I didn't know whether that was a spoiler to say.
It's not a spoiler.
Darth Vader is got the Mexican wrestling hat on.
Oh yeah, yeah, he looks fantastic. He's a luchador. We got a big old muscly guy playing him. It's so good.
Tangentially, and not involved in anything else, I've been watching Conan O'Brien's. He's traveled internationally.
You're about to say Conan the Barbarian.
Well, in many ways he was, and he did. He went to Mexico and put one of those on and learned how to wrestle.
Oh man!
He and Andy Richter. Andy Richter was a baby.
Oh, that's funny. Character.
I love wrestling in so many different ways.
So this is great, and I don't know whether you can answer this question, but Latino Comedy Project is Emmy Award winning. I'm curious as to what it won an Emmy Award for. Do you know?
No, yeah. I mean, that was definitely before our time. This is written and directed by Adrian Villegas, which is the, you know, creative director at
Latino
Comedy Project. Yeah, he's the guy. So, no, that's definitely a question for him. We luckily came on board for this about a year ago. We met through a different show that we were doing.
Was there something in arts and context or something like that, I think?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I will investigate.
I wouldn't even begin to know. So this, you've been working on this for a year?
Oh, yeah. They made a Kickstarter a while ago. So Latino Comedy Project has been making shows for a while, but this is the first time that they had to do a little bit more of fundraising for. Just like, it's, you know, it's got special effects, it's got videos. So
how many people are in the cast?
How many are we, like 12
in the performance? I think that we're closer to 15, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is a good size.
Thank you for being honest.
Right, yeah, of course.
Important. I do like this in the on your website. It says... the Latino Comedy Project asked the question, what would Star Wars have looked like if George Lucas had been Jorge Lucas?
That's very, very important. Right, that's exactly what it's about, yes.
Yeah, I think that's great. And they have a MAGA. Make a galaxy great again.
MAGGA. Yeah, and Jorge Lucas is actually a character in it.
Jorge Lucas makes an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And what roles do you guys play?
I play R2-M2.
You do? Are you in a little thing?
I am in a droid costume.
You're in a droid. Can you, do you make
do you
the
make
noise?
Do you make droid sounds?
I do not. I do not.
Lisa apparently has been working on her droid.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
We should just do a whole show of droid.
Just put that sound, yeah.
So what's the name of the character again? Sorry, I just...
R2-Me-Too.
R2-Me-Too.
Right,
good.
So that's
more
you.
Humanoid.
Yeah,
the
Me Too movie.
Yeah, right. I was like, it's the C-3PO. Me Too. I get it. Oh, yeah. It's a great play on words.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. And I play Han Cholo, which is Han Solo.
Oh, really? I didn't get that. But thanks for clarifying that. Do you get stuck in a big wall of... Of wall?
No, because that happens in the second movie. Okay. as a real like fanboy.
So this is based on the first Star Wars movie.
That's right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's based on A New Hope.
Okay.
It even had a
subtitle.
Back
when it came out, it did not have a name.
Correct, yeah. So this actually had the subtitle A New Dope, but he's also just kind of been really, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Cool, it sounds like a lot of fun. Can I bring my kiddos to this?
Yes. So it is family friendly. There will be like sporadic Mexican kind of words that get thrown in there. Right. But I mean, it's very, very family friendly. It'll be very good for the whole family.
We tackle some big topics, but it's not anything that would be inappropriate. I think, for kids.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a question a little while ago that I cut you off. Do you have anything you want to ask?
You know what? That question went out the window. You just started making droid sounds. Threw me off.
You like making droid sounds. Now, were you two a fan of Star Wars before y'all started working on this?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's horrible for me to say this, but I was not a part of that world either.
Okay. So when you walk into a world like this,
right,
that everybody knows the expert on it because everybody has such a personal connection in a different way.
Right.
How's that?
It's been a learning process for sure. You know, but I'm just grateful that Adrian gave me the opportunity to play this part and has been guiding me through. And it's great to be surrounded by a cast of people that do have that knowledge. So I feel very well taken care of.
Great. Well, we're going to, if you're going to stick around and join us backstage, we're going to a little bit more about how you're feeling about being in this new world. And I'm hoping you can stick around and join us. When does the show open?
We open this weekend. We open, it's for May the 4th, like Star Wars, and it's also for Cinco de Mayo. So the big thing is the 4th and the 5th. But we have 8 shows running in 2 weekends. This
and we
weekend
open
and the
Friday.
I was like, y'all planned that, didn't you? With the May the 4th be with you day.
Yeah,
and then I love it. Cinco de Mayo. I mean, it's all right there.
It's too
May
clever.
May the 4th be with you.
But we do open Friday, just so that we know.
Yeah.
I didn't make that up, Lisa. No, I wish I could say it was me.
It's a thing.
And my brilliance, but it's not.
Well, that's awesome. And how long do y'all play?
So we play Friday, 2 shows on Saturday, 2 shows on Sunday. The next weekend, we're playing Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night.
That's right. Total of 8 shows.
8 shows.
Awesome. Are y'all ready?
Oh, yeah.
We're ready.
Very, very ready. Yes.
Well, I should say, in full disclosure, you guys are doing it at Ground Floor Theater, so I've watched the set go up, and I've been talking to the designers and Adrian. Yes, I have.
Inside scoop.
So I for one, am looking very forward to it. I'll be with you guys every night that you're playing. So
that's exciting.
If your droid costume is missing and you hear sounds in the green room.
We know who it is.
It's Lisa locked in the back.
I'm going to be the R2-Me-Too understudy.
That's right. Yeah.
So where can folks go to get more information about this show?
So please.
StarGuarsComedyFest.com, and I'll spell that out, StarGuars, ComedyFest.com.
Wow. Okay, that's great. They can also go to LatinoComedyProject.com.
That's right.
Or you could Google A Star Wars. But I did not know about that website, so that's a good one. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. I'm hoping that y'all can stick around and join us backstage. It's quite fun back there.
It is.
Wonderful. So that was Cindy Brio and Andy Gonzalez-Bendixson of the Latino Comedy Project's Star Wars, a May 4th Cinco de Mayo comedy fiesta, May 3rd through 11th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, and I'm going to use what I have here because I can't remember what you said, latinocomedyproject.com. And I think everybody's going to have kind of fun with this song. I am a nerd. Okay, I have to say originally that I chose just the Star Wars theme.
Uh-huh.
And I said, come on, this is the Latino Comedy Project. There's got to be something funnier than just the Star Wars theme.
And apparently there is.
Yeah, there's a whole...
I was like, there's a whole bunch out there. You probably went down a rabbit hole, didn't you?
No, actually, there were very few.
Oh, really?
Very few, at least the way I searched it
out. I would have thought you'd go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I didn't go down any rabbit holes. I don't like rabbits.
Uh-huh.
I don't like rabbits. The sad part of the thing around living at Casa Sheps right now is my loquat tree is gone. It's barren. I ate all the loquats.
I'm sorry.
That's the end of that story.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you've lost your loquats.
Yeah, I lost my loquats. So one of the other things that I just want to say that's been going on around town, you know, we are working with a coalition of groups trying to steer the city into some of the funding issues that they have. There was a grant that had some money to go to helping creative spaces. And I was at a meeting at City Hall over the week where we talked about how to help existing creative spaces stay afloat in a city where the housing and rental market is outpacing our ability to make enough money to afford it. So it's really quite,
how was that conversation?
It was interesting. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, but I think everybody's everybody's got good intent and wants to do the same thing. It's just how do we do it? So got a lot of work to do, but check the papers for all that. It's really good, important stuff to do. John Reedy last week talked a little bit about the stuff from right. The Austin Creative Alliance, but there's a lot of people working on this in city council and in the private sector and in the nonprofit sector. So that's it for this week.
Keep us posted on all that.
Yeah. So next week, we're back together again. We weren't sure whether you were going to be here because you thought you might be going to Houston.
Yeah, but I don't think I can go.
Yeah, neither can I. We're very, very sad about
it. I'm so upset about it.
Yeah, well, we'll have maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll bring them here. Have them come and play here.
I wish Miss Saigon was coming here.
So that's it for this week. Remember, you can tweet us on Twitter. You can Facebook us on Facebook and all that stuff.
Tweet, tweet.
You can get us on the iTunes podcast thing. Offstage and On Air will come right to your mailbox. If you sign up, we'll send it to you.
Yeah, we just arrived.
Yep.
Zing, each week. You don't have to look.
So do that. If you're listening on the radio, it's Austin Monitor News is next. And if you're listening on the podcast, which you should be, we're going to go backstage and talk to our guests. For our third show is the 3 years ago, the Tony Award winner was Hamilton. And this is from the Hamilton, what's it called? The Hamilton mixtape.
Oh.
And this is Regina Spektor with Ben
Folds.
You did
it in honor of them kicking off their new exhibit this week.
I did.
Yeah.
Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? You have my eyes, you have your mother's name. When you came into the world, you cried.
All right, the curtain has just come down on Age Well, the musical. The story of a flea that is very old who met a fly. And the story goes a little bit like this. A flea and a fly were caught in a flue. Let's flee, said the fly. Let's fly, said the flea. So they flew through a flaw in the flue.
Wow.
That's the story. Anyway, the show has come down. We've gone out the backstage door. We're down behind the theater next to the dumpsters. And we're here. And we're fortunate enough to be talking to Cindy Brio and Andy Gonzalez-Bendixson, who are here with us and have never been on our show before.
No,
that's
never.
Right.
And Cindy, I want to start with you because we didn't get the whole story, but from what we talked about before we went on and what we talked about during the show, you don't necessarily have a theater background. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show. Mm-hmm. What is that? So what? Is this your first theatrical thing to do?
It is not. I started with improv.
Oh, okay.
2.5 years ago, took some classes.
Where?
Did a couple shows at the Hideout Theater.
Okay, I've heard of that place.
Yeah, and then I was cast in a student show called Escándalo with Andy. Actually, that's where we mm-hmm. met, and we had an amazing run. Actually, it was. I guess we broke some records.
Good. Breaking records is always good.
All Latino cast.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. People can't see it, but Andy, because it doesn't really work on radio, but Andy's been nodding his ascension this whole time.
I'll say yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and you know, we've continued to do our thing with Escándalo. We're no longer a show, but now we are a troupe.
And are you calling yourselves Escándalo? Or do you have
Escándalo.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean in English?
Scandal.
Well, okay.
So take the word scandal and then you put an E before it and an O after it, and that's escándalo.
Exclamation points.
I knew what it meant.
No, I forgot why.
You gave me a dirty look.
I gave you a look, but why am I not hearing you? Because your microphone isn't on. Yeah. There it is. Oh, okay. That's why I got here? Crazy. No, there's a crazy mic. There's crazy micness going on in here.
Oh, yes. One didn't have the guard. We moved stuff around on you.
So so that is great. How do you like being a performer?
It's been incredibly fun. It's been a huge, again, learning process for me. I've really had to address my fears.
It's scary. Yeah. What caused you to go to take improv lessons?
That's what I was just about to say. Oh. Where did you all of a sudden late in life just go, okay, I'm going to go do improv?
Life direction. I was making some changes, was going through a divorce, and felt like I needed to laugh. And that kind of put me into a free improv class. And I fell in love with it. I laughed my butt off, felt like a second grader, and... You know, the rest is history.
Well, improv, we talk about that
a
lot.
That's cool.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot on this show is how I recommend improv for anybody in the world, not just people that want to perform, because it is such a great way to learn trust, to get support. And all those things that improv does.
I mean, the whole confidence, speaking, thinking outside confidence. Of the box.
And honestly, tapping into that look at yourself a new part way. Of yourself and having fun.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of times when we're adulting, we forget how to have fun.
Yeah, that's so. Something that we talked about a lot, because in every single class I ever took of improv, half of the people are like artists of some sort, right? Want to be an actor or writer or comedian. But the other half are like lawyers, teachers, people that just need like a little bit more confidence in public speaking or a little bit more like bettering the self kind of stuff. And honestly, they're the ones that pay more attention, that take the risk when they step out in front of the class, where the other ones are more like in a comfort zone. Yeah. You know, it's fantastic.
Cool. And what, where are you from, Cindy?
Well, you know, I've been in Austin for over 30 years.
Okay.
So I like
you
to
you don't
say
look
that
much
I'm
more than 30 years old.
Yeah, I was about to say you.
Thank
really?
You.
Just saying.
I really appreciate that, and I try to...
Where did you come from?
I was born and raised in Rockford, Illinois. I moved to
Austin.
Oh,
I know Rockford.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do? That's so funny.
Yeah, well, both...
We both lived in Chicago.
Yeah, and I've
a while.
Got a friend that lives in Rockford right now.
Yeah, and I moved to Austin when I was 13.
Uh-huh.
And was basically here except for a couple of years when I went off to college for a little bit.
And where did you go to college and what did you study?
Ooh, I went to Yale University.
Oh, la, la, la.
For a couple of years, and things were kind of in flux. There were some things that happened right before I started school. And so my my education was kind of cut short. But when I left, I was a film major.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My stepbrother teaches there. But he's
nice.
Yeah, he's head of the physics department. There aren't a lot. I don't know. I don't come across a lot of people taking class with him in
Not
my world.
Not quite the same thing as film, but close. There is physics used in film.
No, we did have one person come in that had him as a teacher, though. Remember that? That was funny.
So Yale, that's great. So you have experienced the Midwest and the Northeast, and
seasons.
Now the Southwest.
You've had seasons.
I've had seasons.
You've had joy. You've had fun. You've had seasons in the sun.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
In the cold, in the snow, and everywhere else in between.
And so did you go into film as a career?
I did not. I came back to Austin to take a break. And basically started a family young. And so
Mazel
that
tov.
Was that's
how many
kind
kids
of where
do you
we
have?
Like how many
stopped for a while.
Peanuts.
I have two children that I bore and a stepson.
And their names are?
Clayton, Lauren, and Philip.
Okay, oh, so there's a shout out to Clayton, Lauren, and Philip.
And I also have a granddaughter. And
you
a
do
no,
not.
No way.
Yes, I do.
Oh. You
do
not.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, thank you.
How old is your granddaughter?
She is like 2 2/3.
Wow.
Oh.
She's amazing.
That is a big thrill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one of my best friends in high school is at grandma too. She just loves it. Loves it.
So, Andy, what's your story?
I'm an immigrant. I was born in Colombia in South America.
What
so
town?
In Bogota. In
I've
the capital.
Been to Bogota.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
yep. I spent a lot of time. Well, not a lot.
I was your accent sounded South American. That's
Whoa.
Yeah. My best friends from Buenos Aires, and I
Look
other
at
roommates
that.
Are from Brazil and stuff. But I was kind of like,
you could
where is
up?
He? Where yeah. is he from?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so my dad is Mexican, so I am Mexican. I'm half Mexican. That's why I touch into my Mexican side for Star Wars or for Escándalo. Mm-hmm. But I would say we're like
mostly Colombian, if you were like asking like how we identify, right? I moved to El Paso, though, when we moved here, because my dad got a job in Juarez, so his border town, right? Yeah. He just moved the family. That's how we ended up in the States.
Awesome. And how did you find your way into the into theater? You do theater outside of improv and Latino Comedy Project? Or?
So I've done more, but I'm much more film as well. I did a lot more film acting. I studied film. I graduated in film. I have
my own
production company. UT Film.
RTL. I've heard of both of those things.
Yeah.
So is your family still in Texas?
No, my family is crazy spread out now. So I have a brother and sister in Colombia. I have one in Paris. I have one in L.A.,
Yeah,
my parents are in Miami.
Is your brother in Paris single?
No, he moved with his family, unfortunately.
That really is some frequent flyer miles, but that has to make for really great. My family's all spread out, so when you're all together, it's so exciting.
So my dad had his 70th birthday a couple years ago, and we all flew from all over the world to come and to surprise him. And we did the math, and it had been 11 years since we could all be together. So it's a trek now. Yeah.
Wow. So what kind of film work do you do? I heard you say you have a production company. What's the name of the production company?
It's a startup. It's three or less productions. It's basically like videography and stuff. Just, that's what keeps the lights on. But we would like to do more of our own stuff, which is short films, writing, sending, scripts into festivals, stuff like that. But really, it's a company.
So you have a business. Screenplay yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Of course
absolutely.
You do.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you have to, I think.
Yeah. We have tons that we need to polish and then send. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And what kind of work does your company do then? The stuff that feeds you, that keeps the lights on. Are you working in the corporate world?
Right. No. So yeah, the fun ones would be music videos. Uh-huh. We just shot a music video, right? Or like a business commercial that's more narrative, like we're shooting a little movie. But no, what we most get, 95% of it would be videography. So it's like dance shows, weddings, baptisms.
Oh,
right?
So archival. Of capturing the moment.
Fly on the wall, shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I edit it all, of course, but I mean, it's not as fun. That's the work.
I'm going to ask you this because I've had a friend and I having a conversation lately. I've seen this start to spike again lately. Do you record a lot of funerals?
Ooh, oh, no. Wow, that's a thing?
I've seen a lot of...
That seems weird.
Thank you.
No,
I have
not heard that.
No, I knew it in like the 80s, but then recently I've seen a lot more. I understand it when people are like across the world and you want to share it with people, but I've seen like... lots of it everywhere, and I'm like, is this a thing again?
We did by coincidence. We shot one wake, but that was because they wanted to get everyone's speeches and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like all the remembering.
And I understand.
But
it
wasn't a funeral.
Okay, so you don't get. All right, I was wondering. I'm like, am I seeing this surge?
I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh yes.
So, do either of you sing?
Ooh, no.
Okay,
I would like to sing. I would like to take voice lessons.
What's stopping you?
Yeah, why not?
Again, it's this whole.
You mean you have a life, well, children, and grandchildren,
and then
responsibility?
It's like, okay, I have to work on my fears, and so I am actually going to be taking a musical improv class, and then starting from there.
Musical improv is fun.
Yeah. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, it's harder. It's actually much harder.
As a musical improv is hard.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So hard.
I also think it's like easier to impress because of it. Like the audience, they see how four people made one song and it blows their mind. Like, how are they able to do that? They don't know the little rules that you kind of learn, but it is much harder to learn.
So
I love that you're trying that.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So in terms of improv, are you both basically at the Hideout or you perform?
Schooled with Cold Town. I met her because of Escándalo. I just auditioned for it and then we both got picked, but I'm Cold
so
Town.
You're at Cold Town.
Through.
And that's one thing I love about this town in terms of our improv scene. We support five theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the theaters has there's a different vibe to each theater, and you can usually tell where people are from.
I was at Hideout, and after we did a scene, this one girl said, "So where did you do your school?" I said, "Cold Town." "Oh yeah, you smell like Cold Town."
And I did the institution.
I was like, "You were Lisa was an institution."
I'm an institution girl.
Yeah, that's great.
So that was, and before that, I did comedy sports.
You may not
want
to say that in public.
Oh, nice!
I'm an institution.
I was in the minor leagues of the Chicago comedy sports.
Oh, that's nice, though. Yeah. That's big.
So you're doing...
just talking about comedy sports last week, weren't
we? Yeah, we talk about comedy sports all the time because I like to talk about comedy sports.
But I like it.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset.
So after A Star Wars closes, what are you going to do, more theatrical ventures?
Well, for one, Escándalo is kind of blowing up. We just got some space at the Mexican-American Cultural Center for the next year.
We call it the MAC. That's what
the
we
MAC.
Call it.
Yeah, we've got two shows. We've got the People of Color Comedy Fest that we'll be performing in on the 25th. We've got a show at the Hideout, Escándalo Presents, on the 31st. And then we've already planned out the next year of performances at the MAC.
Yeah.
And then looking, you know, we're still talking with Bear Stage in San Antonio. And so we've got our next.
Well, just
year
now,
and
this was a couple
up.
Days ago when we got the space, when we got basically this like grant that we were applying for. We now have a show every month for the next year. So yeah.
And who else is in Escándalo?
That's so awesome.
So there's Laura Galán Wells.
She's in Star Wars, so that would be a relevant one. Otherwise,
we don't have to be relevant here.
Carly
we can
Limos,
do what we want.
Yep, Alonso Salas, Alejandra González,
Jesus Chavez, Joey Neugert.
This is a pretty large troop.
It's nine and then, of us. Yeah. Right, and then Aaron Science, and I think that's all of us.
I think that's us.
Nine of us.
Well, cool.
That's a good size, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us back here amongst the dumpsters.
Wow.
It was very nice of you.
Yeah, this is nice.
And we hope to see you back here at the next time you're doing a show.
I hope so.
Thank you.
See you guys.
I lead a secret life as a football jock. It's so embarrassing. When I'm not reading, I'm chasing pigskins, I'm making touchdowns all on some field. Oh, how dearly I wish I could leave all of that behind.